Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Welcome to the second hour of your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the Allstate Skyline studio overlooking the Chicago River and beautiful Lake Michigan on this beautiful Sunday. And joining me here in the Skyline studio is Illinois State Comptroller Susana Mendoza. Madam Comptroller, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks. Rick, good morning, everybody, and go USA Women's
yes.
Soccer. Woohoo!
Why did I have any doubt that you would have a soccer, you'd be sporting a soccer jersey today?
Of course.
I fully expect you'd be out on the pitch somewhere.
No, I'll be sitting in front of my TV set cheering them on. So, 10 a.m., everybody, woo!
What are you serving this morning for?
What do you do for
10 o'clock?
I know it's
soccer.
Like 10 a.m. Right? It yeah. needs to be like at 5 p.m. or something. But
it's a brunch.
I know breakfast. Soccer, I guess.
There you go. Omelets. Sounds
not
good.
Super fun. Yes.
Sorry about that.
It's like too early even for hot wings, right? It's 10 a.m. Game's over to celebrate.
There you go. And let's hope we celebrate today.
Of course we're going to celebrate.
Well, I wanted to have you on because there's a number of issues. There always are when it comes to Illinois finances. And I know you talked about, you know, really what a difference, I guess, a governor makes.
Oh, boy, is that true or what?
Yeah. Well, don't hold back here. No, but I, as far as, you know, we get a passage of a budget that even Republicans will acknowledge is, even if they won't say it's balanced, but it's the most balanced that they've seen in
sure.
their time.
Mm-hmm.
And there were Republican votes for it. Capital plan gets passed, you know, something that
$45 billion capital plan.
A jobs bill and mm-hmm. helps. But you also caution, too, this is almost like a first step.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we still have a huge backlog of overdue bills in this
yep.
state.
It's still really large. I mean, certainly not what it was, you know, a year and a half ago.
It wasn't. It's not $16 billion.
Yeah, we were looking at $16.7 billion, and we have it down to about $6.1 billion as of today. So it's great news, but we're not out of the woods yet, right? I keep saying that we can see light between the trees finally, but we're still not out of the woods.
You know the old phrase about there's light at the end of the tunnel, but it might be a freight train coming at you.
Well, no, it's not in our case, thankfully. So I'll stick with my woods analogy because, you know, we're going to get out of this. But it is going to take a few years. And that's the thing that we need to remind the public of. Just because we have a new governor and we have a new budget and things look to be moving really in a great direction, we still have a $6.1 billion backlog and I don't have enough revenue to cover that, right? So this budget, while yeah, you could argue it's balanced. It is. I can't truly say that anything is 100% balanced if I still have a $6 billion backlog. That doesn't have to be taken into consideration when crafting the budget. That's why the budget is balanced. But, you know, this $6 billion is out there. We're on the hook for it, and we have to pay it back.
I know it's premature to talk about the graduated income tax amendment, and certainly that would be something that voters would have to act on.
Yeah, the fair tax, sure.
But I mean, how much of there you're talking about $3.4 billion
in revenue.
That
would be hugely helpful. Look, because we have about $2.5 billion of operating expenses day to day. So that $6 billion bill backlog that we've gotten it down to six, really more like, you know, four. Right now. So it's anywhere between six and seven. If you take away the $2 to $2.5 billion of daily operating expenses, it's going to take us a few years, but we're not going to get all of that $3.4 billion by any means. We'll get a percentage of that because I'm sure he's going to dedicate part of that to unfunded pension liability and other necessary expenses. But we'll be able to chip away at this bill backlog, and maybe over the next, you know, 3 to 4 years, we should be able to eliminate it. With the fair tax. If we don't have the fair tax, then we're going to be on the hook. And unfortunately, many vendors and businesses across the state of Illinois will continue to suffer waiting for payments that they deserve.
Are we in, with this backlog that we still have, though, are we in the calamitous situations that existed in the past with, like, certain social service agencies and those kinds of things?
Look, yes and no. I would say no, because we're not to the extent that we were when we had $16.7 billion and no legal authority to make
bills, right?
Because without a budget, that was just, you know, it was like doubling debt. It's like if you have your hands tied behind your back and someone's kicking you every second of the day, right? So there's no way you can even defend yourself. We were really just gasping for air. With a budget in place, we were able to get some of those dollars that were legally appropriated through the budget process, you know, out into the marketplace. So that was much more helpful. We were still in absolute triage mode. With the refinancing, if you want to think of it that way, with that $6 billion bonding deal, where we were able to cut our interest rates from 12% to 3.5%, that over the 12-year course of that loan will actually save taxpayers $4 to $6 billion. So those financial tools that we put to use are going to help to stabilize our finances, and the markets responded accordingly, moving us from a negative to a stable outlook. Right now, with the actual passage of a budget, although we still have $6.1 or $2 billion of a bill backlog, there is an additional $1.2 billion in bonding authority that I may or may not utilize, but it's good to know it's there. And I'll utilize it if it allows me to pay down bills that we're accruing 12% interest on, where we can save people money. But, you know, again, we're still triaging certain businesses that haven't been paid because I still, you know, having $6 billion in any normal universe would be like a ridiculous amount of unpaid bills. But, you know, this is Illinois. So, you know, I've been dealing,
everything's relative.
Yeah, I've been dealing in the absolute absurd where ridiculous seems manageable.
Well, and you know, you hear complaints sometimes, too, about, oh, why are we borrowing money to pay these overdue bills? And you touched on it is there's that onerous interest rate that mm-hmm. exists versus, you know, basically a refinancing.
Yep. So normally when people hear the word bond or borrowing, you, of course, think worst case scenario. We're borrowing money to pay bills that, you know, people might argue we should not have even incurred, but nonetheless, we incurred them. But because you're borrowing the money, you're actually paying a lot more for the service that you originally paid for. Kind of like if you put you buy a sweater that's on sale for $50, but you pay the minimum payments on it with your credit card, and now that sweater costs you $150, right? So, but what was different about the bonding deal that we did was that we were paying 12% interest on over $6 billion. Really, we paid almost $9 billion worth of bills that we were incurring late payment interest penalties on at 12% because I took some of that $6 billion, leveraged it for federal matching dollars, and turned it into $9 billion, and we're able to pay down $9 billion of that $16.7 billion backlog, saving us over the course of that 12 years because of 12% going down to 3.5%, $4 to $6 billion. So this was a huge win for Illinois, not your traditional type of bonding. Normally, if I were our bills right now, we don't owe a lot of bills that are producing late payment interest penalties, which is why I'm not in a rush to get to the market for bonding. I'll only bond out where we're actually going to see a significant cost savings for taxpayers. I'm not going to bond out just for the sake of borrowing.
We're speaking with Illinois State Comptroller Susana Mendoza. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson, the Chicago Tribune, here in the Allstate Skyline Studio, joined by Illinois State Comptroller Susana Mendoza. Madam Comptroller, there's a thing called a CAFR, okay? And I know it's a very important financial document, a document that markets use. It basically is kind of a adjudication of the state's finances.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't even remember what CAFR stands for.
Comprehensive Annual Financial Report.
Okay. And it sounds boring as all heck, but it's really important. And we haven't, we're way overdue on having this submitted.
Yes, and it's supposed to be due, ideally, right, in a perfect world, December 31st.
Which never happens,
never
really.
Happens. I mean, when I ran for controller, I think it had been a full 12 years since the CAFR had ever been put out relatively on time before June 30th of the next year. So you're looking at December 31st. Technically, you have until June 30th, but you're not really supposed to. It's supposed to essentially be December 31st. Never happens. Always chronically late. And I would ask, like, if this is a responsibility of the controller's office, I remember asking someone when I ran for controller, who used to work in that office, and I said, hey, why is this report chronically late? I mean, I don't get that. I don't like doing anything late. And they said, well, because even though the controller is charged with putting out this report, the report cannot be assembled until the controller receives from the Auditor General a full blessing. Like, they have to audit all of the state's financials, which means every state agency has to report their financials to the Auditor General. Then the Auditor General actually audits all of that. And then once the Auditor General compiles his findings, he submits them to the controller, who then puts the report together. So obviously, if the controller has not received the report yet from the audit, and the audit hasn't been finalized yet, and that could be for many reasons, then the controller can't actually put out the report. So we're once again in this position where it is now July, and there is no CAFR, and I can't tell you when the CAFR will come out. The auditor is still working with some state agencies that have not been able to, I can't really say too much about it other than these state agencies are working with the auditor to give the auditor the information that he needs to actually be able to finish compiling his findings and do a proper audit. But it's an area of concern. I mean, I've brought this to the attention of the press because things need to change in Illinois. It is absurd that this financial audit, just so the public understands, is for the prior fiscal year. We're already, by the time people even get this report, it's essentially not worth the paper it's printed on.
But what, I mean, what is the problem?
So this is still a hangover from the Rauner administration. Now, I can't just blame it on Rauner because for the last decade or so, over more than a decade, this report has been late, but never to the extent that it is right now. And, you know, my understanding is that some of the state agencies who, this is not a Pritzker thing, it's still from the prior administrations. Even next year's financial report will be half of the fiscal year would have pertained to Bruce Rauner's administration. There's been some problems, which, again, I'm not privy, or I'm not at liberty to speak about. The Auditor General would do that in his report. But there's been some problems that are hangovers or consequences of some, you know, some things not going right under the Rauner administration. So that's what we're working with.
Well, I mean, is it, you know, obviously we had went without a budget, mm-hmm. those kinds of things. But also, you know, is there concern about any kind of attempts at financial manipulation to try to maybe make things at one point during that tenure a little bit rosier financially?
No, I don't think that that's it. I just think that there was,
or it's,
you know,
just,
there was
just all
a ton
messed
of,
up.
Yeah, I don't think it's any kind of like malicious thing. I'm not going to throw that.
No, I will.
But I think it's just, you know, shoddy record keeping potentially. I really don't know. But I mean, this is essentially what I've been led to maybe kind of believe. And, you know, we saw, I mean, this is public record, that there have been a lot of failures with system implementations and stuff, right? That could potentially lead to, you know, data collection problems. So, again, the CAFR is all about analyzing the state's financial data, and it is really unprecedented that we don't have that data yet to fully analyzed. So we're waiting on the Auditor General to give us the all clear to compile the report. But my office has been ready since December to get it done. And, you know, I'm just kind of disgusted with this whole process. And we need to do something to change it moving forward.
I also want to ask you about a ruling in the Cook County Circuit Court over the issue of legislative salary.
Wow, bam, bam. Like, I just mentioned the word disgust, and you bring that up. It's perfect.
I know you're not happy about this.
No. So
two former members of the General Assembly filed suit claiming that the taking of furloughs, which were part of action by the General Assembly, that enacting those furloughs, as mm-hmm. well as not accepting cost of living increases during several years.
Yeah, I mean, we had really tough times in Illinois, and everybody had to share the pain, right? And as elected officials, I thought it was the right thing to do. And I served during part of that time to not take those pay increases while people across our state were struggling. This lawsuit is disgusting on so many levels because, you know, Senator Noland, who's the lead plaintiff in this case, who brought this case, we challenged it on the grounds that he was no longer even in the legislature and therefore had no standing. And because we won on that, He enlisted another state legislator to jump on board who was in the state Senate at the time, who could claim that he had legal standing to bring forth this lawsuit. And essentially, they claim that those very raises that they themselves voted for, right? I mean, that they voted to not take.
Correct.
And Senator Noland even went so far as being on the record pontificating as to why it was the right thing to do to deny these pay increases to themselves. Once he was no longer in the legislature, turns around and sues for that money. I mean, it's so sick on so many levels. It's exactly why people do not trust us. And it's nothing more than a nasty money grab by, you know, these politicians that frankly don't deserve to have ever served, as far as I'm concerned.
So this was a ruling in the Cook County court that...
Yeah, they ruled in favor of, you know, Senator Noland's shameless lawsuit. So, like, it never ceases to surprise me the levels that people will go to, but we're going to fight it. And I just think it's the right thing to do on principle.
Well, and you know, I did read the ruling and I wasn't clear, but it didn't look like you were directed to pay these.
Yeah, not yet. There's going to be another follow-up on August 6th where the judge may decide to tell us that we have to pay it. We're still waiting to see what happens in court on August 6th. But, you know, it's a complex lawsuit.
It's a constitutional question.
It is. It's a constitutional question. And, you know, there's always two sides to an argument, right? They're claiming that it's unconstitutional. There are lots of people who might agree that it's unconstitutional. A judge clearly said that it was unconstitutional. Yet, I would still argue that if that's the case, that changing a legislator's salary pro or against midterm with these cost of living allowances, if that's unconstitutional, then implementing a cost of living allowance as something that legislators could get, which they did in 1990, should therefore be unconstitutional in and of itself. So, but the judge is not ruling on that behalf. So, you know, we'll see what happens August 6th. I just think that I've seen a lot of lawsuits, right? I mean, I get sued all the time as a state controller.
Well, because you're in charge of the payouts.
Yeah, it's not anything
right.
I've done personally. It's just that the office of controller gets sued all the time by everyone because people want their money. And I can't argue, really. I mean, on a moral perspective, it's hard to ever say, well, that person doesn't deserve to get paid because we owe them money. But in this case, these guys do not deserve a penny. I mean, I feel so sad for taxpayers that they ever actually served, because they were just serving themselves and they continue to just serve themselves. And then Senator Noland went on to become a judge. It just, like, my head wants to explode right now, right? So this is just, it's shameless. It really is. And it makes me very sad that we're in a situation where we would even have this happening. I mean, it's exactly why people don't trust us. And, you know, just please, if you don't like what you're hearing right now, just, you know, burn up this guy's phone, you know, send him emails, post about this on Facebook. I don't think it's going to matter because the guy clearly has no shame, but, you know, it's going to make me feel a little bit better.
Okay, I'm glad we know where you stand on that. Actually, since he's a judge, doesn't he have a conflict of interest by bringing a lawsuit?
It's just, the guy has no shame.
Just a question there.
I don't think he understands what that concept is, you know? Yeah. It's, this is why he enlisted someone else to help do his dirty work.
That is Illinois State Controller Susana Mendoza.
You got me all fired up now.
Well, just get, this is the pregame warm-up for 10 o'clock, all right? Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Hey, thanks for having me. Everybody have a great weekend, and please cheer on the women's soccer team. Go USA.